Woo, here's a hot take on this week's episode.
But how can we actually, like, just like your seven pillars of abundance, like abundance is not abundance if you're just financially abundant, but you have no social life, you don't have romance, you're emotionally not well. That's not really the definition of abundance. So like a good relationship, like it has all of these pillars. You have that security and that safety, but you also have time for that sexiness. Watch me steal the show. Higher ground, yeah, I'm rising fast. This is my moment, it's built to last. Keep the focus, keep the drive. No slow motion, I'm alive. Power surging, can't deny. I'm unstoppable. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant podcast. We are taking you from burned out to balanced, beautiful, and abundant. And today we have a very special guest in the studio. Welcome to the show, Diane Mueller. Thank you for having me. We're going to talk about, I think, a really fun way that we do become balanced and more beautiful and more abundant that is often not talked about. So I'm really excited to, you know, pull back the curtain on our topic today.
Yes, it's such a juicy topic. Let me tell my audience a little bit about how wonderful you are. So Diane Mueller is an internationally known and respected sexual wellness authority, educator, and clinician. She has dual doctorates in naturopathic medicine, as well as acupuncture and oriental medicine. She is the founder of My Libido Doc and the host of the Libido Lounge. She trains medical professionals worldwide in both functional and sexual medicine. And today we are going to discuss why passion fades even in loving relationships and how couples can create novelty, connection, and desire. So I am very excited to dive in today. What really makes your work powerful to me, Diane, is that you had your own personal journey with sexual health challenges. So can you tell our audience about your journey and how you got to be so passionate about sexual wellness?
Yeah, I have a couple stories that really are like great for this topic. And one is when I was in my early 20s, I started experiencing this very, very annoying vulvar pain. And the vulva, just in case anybody doesn't know, is that part of the outside of the vagina, like the labia and that area. And this pain was real annoying because I went to doctors. This was before I was medically trained, and every test that was run was normal. And I was at night lying in bed night after night. That's when the pain would really exacerbate and flare, not able to sleep. So one very brave day, I start talking to my roommate about it. And my roommate had a very open conversation in general. She had just an open nature and talking about sex and talking about self-pleasure. So I shouldn't have been surprised when she handed me a book. And the book she handed me is called Sex for One by Betty Dodson. And I grew up very, very Catholic. And so this was like extremely challenging to receive this book. But I took it. And lying in bed one night in this pain, I decided to start to read it. And it was very interesting. It had a much different approach than I would have thought. And there was story after story after story of people who are having all sorts of different improvements in their body and in their wellness from a self-pleasure practice. And some of these people had experienced pain relief. So continued in the, you know, the brave fashion, one night I decided to self-pleasure for the first time. And lo and behold, the pain went away. So that was like one of those like aha moments that we get, I think, sometimes as growth-oriented individuals that was like, oh, how could something that is bad or wrong or shameful have the capacity to heal me when nothing else can? And yeah. So that was kind of like my first intro into sex and into really just like wanting to know more about it, not just from an experience perspective, but from like a science or research, like, you know, what's really happening here and why are we as humans, why is this, you know, beyond just procreation? So that was the initial kickoff. And then that did not launch my career by any means. I went a very different way in my career. I have multiple businesses like you. Mm-hmm. So I went off and created another business that I still own today. And it was only a few years ago when I decided I was really interested in speaking out about this very intimate topic. And I would never have thought I was, you know, what I was going to do this, but it became one of those things that happened to us in life. That's just like those passion moments of like, I have to speak up. And that started after I was married, and I was trying to fix the problems of my marriage by becoming polyamorous. And so
Dave, it was your idea, not his?
It was his idea. He wanted to do it for years and I had said no. And eventually things had gotten to a point where I was like, well, something has to change. So I was like, okay, let's give this a whirl. So, you know, what was really interesting about that experience was a lot of people think about that and about sleeping with other people and think like jealousy comes up. And I actually did really well with jealousy. I that came up, but that was not my biggest struggle with it. My biggest struggle was all this other drama that nobody talks about around, like, what is it like to find, you know, feel your partner falling in love? What is it like to have to navigate other people's needs? Because then, you know, partner has multiple girlfriends and they have their needs and they have their wants and they want to go on vacation, and we're navigating schedules and feelings. And it was more just like a lot of logistics. And, you know, a lot of feeling like deprioritized and all these other things that came up. And one of the most interesting things for me about it was like really learning that monogamy has its challenges. Polyamory has its challenges. They have different challenges. One is not fixing the other. And it's more around, like, I think making a decision around what challenges in my life are the challenges that I want to work on? What are the challenges that I'm like, this is the way I want to approach my relationship? And these are the challenges that, yes, I want to sign up for. And so that led me to believe, you know, to really like say that monogamy was the way for me, that polyamory was not my deal, and ended up leading to divorce because we wanted different things. And when I met my current partner, we've been together for 5 years now. It was actually we were both poly at that time and actively chose monogamy afterwards. So it was very interesting in all of this. And in the end, that's a lot of what informs my work. And that's what I just started really feeling like, oh, this is such a common problem that people have of like the sex dies, the passion dies. It's not prioritized. Who has time for this when they're building careers and raising children and all these things? And so, you know, developing a system and studying this to help women and help couples really get back on the same page with their passion and the priority and actually decide that, hey, they want to be together. So how can we start to make this relationship hot and passionate and amazing and full of romance in this world where we are busy and a lot of people don't feel like we have time for that? So that was really kind of when I started saying, I got to get out here and start talking and teaching about this.
So I have two questions. Thank you for sharing that story. One, what is the business that you had before you became an expert in sexual wellness?
Lyme disease. So, and I still have that business, and that still is, you know, it's interesting.
You're telling people with Lyme disease with your functional medicine.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. Yeah. Lyme disease. And so I see people one-on-one in that business, and it's interesting in that a lot of people are like, well, that's a big jump. And there's an element where it is, of course, like the conversations are very, very, very different. But yeah, at the same time, Lyme disease or chronic illness is a major reason why romance stops. It's a major reason why sexual function, you know, gets, say, out of balance. So it is a leap, but it's less of a leap than I think people think.
Interesting. And then I got to ask, what was the event where you met your current, I don't know if it's your boyfriend, your husband? How did you guys meet? Was it at a polyamorous event?
It was online. It was online, but we were in a like online, it was OkCupid, and OkCupid has the ability to segment and say, okay, I'm in an open relationship or not.
Okay.
So very interesting. And what was also interesting was, for whatever reason, when I was dating online that way, I was only getting matched up not only with people in open relationships, but with people that were also married and in open relationships. And that was like, I don't think that was like, that was nothing I did with the algorithm. There was no like selection for that. I don't know if it was just like a frequency I was putting out, because it was really interesting to talk to so many couples about like some of their intermarriage struggles and what they were doing. And most of those people that I have still had some level of contact with, and that's very little at this point, are actually no longer with their partner. And not to say that poly can't work. I definitely believe that it can for some people. But I think a lot of people go at it in a way to try to fix something versus like understanding the pros and cons of it and actually deciding for each individual, like, oh yeah, the challenge of it is way offset by the pros for them.
I think biologically, and I know everybody has intellect that overrides biology, but we are wired to be long-term mated. Doesn't mean life. It means you could have several long-term mates. I'm just saying, like, before society and big white weddings and rings, like cavemen and cavewomen, I think they were like mated primates. What do you think about that? You're the scientist.
Well, there's actually been studies on this, and it's really interesting. We have a hormone in our body called vasopressin, and vasopressin is a bonding hormone. It actually is released. We talk about oxytocin being released in orgasm, which it is, but for men, vasopressin is released at orgasm even more than oxytocin. And the studies on vasopressin have been animal studies. They've been on prairie voles mostly, because prairie voles will mate for life. But, you know, like a lot of animal studies, like there's a lot of potential where there could be validity for humans too, as we have vasopressin as well as bonding. And what they've seen with these animal studies is that when these prairie voles, when they manipulate, so the vasopressin is, say, turned off so much is the easiest way to say it, where the brain is not impacted by the vasopressin so much. What happens is that monogamous prairie voles that have their one mate will all of a sudden start sleeping with the whole tribe. So, and that's actually some of the thoughts.
Vasopressin makes them want to be monogamous or makes them want to sleep around?
Want to be monogamous. And so if they turn down the vasopressin,
So the men and women out there that have multiple partners, maybe they have less vasopressin than the average person.
That's the theory. And there's even some theory that there might even be a genetic component to people having the wiring where they're not making the vasopressin as much, or the vasopressin doesn't have the same impact on their brain. And so this whole thought around like, could we be wired for monogamy or poly, actually is like, there's some legitimacy there to it around like, yeah, some people probably are wired this way. You know, there needs to be a lot more studies on this to say what the percentage is of all that. But, you know, we have so little research on it. But seeing that it is more like a genetic abnormality to make the vasopressin not have that impact, it probably is, you know, in alignment with what you're saying, where the majority of people actually are experiencing the vasopressin at that higher level, more orienting them more naturally to monogamy.
Yeah, because most people don't have the bandwidth. Everybody's so busy to hunt down sexual and emotional security. It's like, we want to have that box checked off so we can like go make money and pay the bills or take care of the kids. It, I mean, like you said, just by experimenting with it, it takes a lot of emotional energy to manage that kind of a lifestyle.
That's exactly what it is. It's very, very draining. There's a lot of conversations. There's a lot of talks. There's a lot of personal work and personal growth. But it's certainly not a fixer. And like a lot of things in life, like a lot of stressors, sometimes what will happen with it is like if there are problems or challenges, it brings them to the surface even more and makes it even more in the face of like, these are our interrelational problems, you know, which sometimes could be good because the awareness is the first opportunity to change or the first, you know, impulse oftentimes to change. But if we're not prepared to go through that and we're not prepared to put in the time it takes to navigate through that, it really is not the right answer for most people, I find.
Yeah, I don't think I could do it. I'm like way too jealous. I heard this comedian saying, everybody thinks it sounds interesting to be in a throuple. And then when two of them go to the mall without the third, there's drama that's happening, right?
Like exactly.
Equal. I mean, I even have a hard time with, like, you know, hanging out with three girls at a time because there's like, there's not an equal, like, I like one-on-one friend time better than hanging out in groups. So it's just easier to know where to put your energy and your attention. So when we come back from this commercial break, we are going to get into the question that everybody who's in a long-term monogamous relationship wants to know. Why does passion decrease the longer you're in a relationship for so many couples? And what can we do to spice it back up? We will be right back after this quick commercial break. And thank you so much for watching the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show. I am so excited. I created something special just for you. It's called the Balanced, Beautiful Bundle. And inside this bundle, you're going to get instant access to a PDF copy of my best-selling book, How to Make a Six-Figure Income Working Part-Time. You're going to get my best health and beauty tips to help you glow from the inside out. You'll get my Elegant Warrior Manifesto, a daily reminder of your power, grace, and purpose. You'll get my Abundance Journal to help you manifest more joy, love, and prosperity. And you'll get a daily journal reminder to keep your mindset strong and your energy and your vibe high every single day. This bundle is your shortcut to balance, beauty, and abundance in an elegant way. So grab your copy now by going to the show notes and start living your most balanced, beautiful, abundant life today. Hey there, it's Rebecca, your magnetic abundance mentor. Let me ask you something. Are you feeling stuck, burned out, or like life just isn't as juicy as you know it can be? If you're nodding right along, it's time for a breakthrough. My coaching program is designed to help you align your life in all seven pillars of abundance: spiritual, physical, emotional, romantic, mental, social, and financial, so you can finally live that big, bold, sexy, and adventurous life you deserve. And here's the best part. I'm inviting you to schedule a breakthrough call with me. No pressure, no sales gimmicks, just a genuine chance to experience my coaching firsthand and get crystal clear on what is next for you. Because your best life is not a someday thing, it's a right now thing. So click the link in the show notes to book your breakthrough call and let's start making magic together. Your next level is calling you. This podcast review is from Bring It On, and she says that the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show is amazing and inspiring. She goes on to say, I believe this show is a place where women can come and really learn and grow. Rebecca creates a strong and safe space for women to share and be vulnerable. I highly recommend this podcast. Thank you so much. And it is absolutely a safe place for all women to come and learn. Thanks for being a great listener. Welcome back. We are here going from burned out and overwhelmed to balanced, beautiful, and abundant. And I teach about the seven pillars of abundance. And I love that Dr. Diane can speak into so many of them. Obviously, romance, physical, emotional, even spiritual, because the right kind of sex can help you get a spiritual experience. And we are talking right now about the question that is on so many long-term monogamous couples' minds. Why has the passion died? We still love each other so much, and how can we get it revved up again? Dr. Diane, what are your thoughts?
It's such an important question, and it comes down to a lot about dopamine and a lot about habits. So when we go back to, say, the early relationship where we had that new relationship energy, NRE as it's called, we're essentially addicted to chemicals in our brain. The number one is dopamine. And what's interesting about dopamine, but a lot of people, there's a lot of dopamine talk, right? It's like a lot of people are talking about dopamine in relationship to push notifications and short videos and, you know, all of the stress in our body that's making us feed on dopamine. But dopamine is not just about that reward that you get when all of a sudden a push notification or a text comes through that you're waiting for. It's also about that desire and that motivation. So taking it back to that new relationship where there's all those juicy chemicals, what's happening is every time when you meet somebody and you're like, okay, well, are they going to text? Are they going to call? Are we going to have our first date? As your brain is thinking about them, you're actually starting to secrete dopamine. And that's creating this desire, this longing, this, oh my goodness, I want this person. I want this person. I want this person. Then they text. Then they call. And you get even a bigger boost of dopamine. And that happens over and over again with every new thing. So first date, how's it going to be? Thinking about it, dopamine. First date, it goes well. Boom, more. First kiss, second date, first vacation, on and on and on and on. And we live in this beautiful bubble of this until we get to usually what's a pivotal point of combining our lives. So whether this is getting married, whether this is moving in together, whether this is sharing keys to each other's houses, anything that is all of a sudden making things predictable and habit forming, where it's like, I just know I'm going to wake up and see them, or I know I'm going to get home from work and see that person. And so when we start to know, the brain doesn't secrete that dopamine anymore. And there goes the motivation, that drive, that desire right out the window with that dopamine. And so what tends to happen for people is we tend to form these habits in our relationship that are very similar to the habits we form in our sex life. And with sex, it's very common. People are going to, I think, get this very easily. So if anybody's listening, the thing that I'd listen for is, or think about here is, think about the last time you made love and how did it start? What'd you do next? Was there a position you did? Maybe a couple positions you did? What was the grand finale like? And then think about that pattern and think about the last time you did that pattern previously. And what you're probably going to notice is that most people form these sexual scripts. Mm-hmm. I do this, you do that, they do that, bing, bang, boom, finale.
Right.
And that is the opposite of desire, because desire is about kind of this unknown, this dopamine. When we get into these relationships and we feel all these other things, safe, secure, all these other wonderful things, the brain isn't kicking these chemicals out. And so then all of a sudden we get into these habits and there goes all of it because the brain knows what to predict. So left to our own devices, which is what I help people get out of, you know, their own devices, out of their own way. Left to our own devices, we just continue that sexual script for eternity and we go on autopilot. And we're in this state and we're not even thinking about it. And that's really why the passion dies, is because the dopamine process dies and we don't do anything to stop it. We don't do anything to intervene, but we can.
Okay. Well, that was a great explanation. We get into kind of a routine and we have the same type of sex every time because we know it works. So how do we spice things up and change it up?
I will start with a story and then give some practical things. So I was listening to an interview many years ago by Richard Bandler, who's the founder of Neuro-Linguistic Programming, which is a brain mindset retraining program. And he was telling a story that really impacted me. And the story was, he was talking about when he was getting married, that everybody said to him, well, you better enjoy the sex now because it's going to go down the drain, down the tubes after you get married. And his response as like a brain retraining guy was, that's so interesting. You mean I'm going to practice something over and over and over again and get worse at it? Like, how does that make sense, right? And so the analogy and the answer to your question on what do we do about it, there's many things we can do about it. But if we think about learning an instrument like a guitar, we're picking up a guitar for the first time, we're going to like learn maybe the C chord. And when we learn a new chord and we have it down and we got it dialed and we're strumming, it's like, oh, I finally got it where it sounds perfect. And there's no twanginess and I hit every string perfect. And it's great. And it's real exciting. We learn some different strumming patterns and now we can make a C sound like this or like that. And then we throw in a D chord, go through the same thing. We throw in an F chord. Now we have three chords and all these strumming patterns and it feels like when we can do all these different things, but we just get stuck. And that's the habit. So part of the novelty is actually bringing in new chords. Mm-hmm. It's helping people see like, oh, there's hundreds of positions. There's hundreds of different ways we can role play if that's interesting. There's different outfits. There's different toys. There's different ways we can embody ourselves, right? There's different places. There's all these different ways in monogamy we can actually spice things up and make things new. But there's a couple caveats with that. One is if we are bringing something new in and we talk about it in advance and we say, okay, well, this next time we make love, let's try this or let's try that. Then if we can get our brain to think about it, if we can flirt about it, if we can send flirty texts and all that, what we're doing is we're bringing our brain, not just like putting that in the ethers as something we're going to try on Friday if we remember. We're actually then saying, oh, no, I'm going to think about this every day just like I did in that new relationship energy. I'm going to send some text, maybe some dirty, flirty text to my partner so that they're thinking about it too. And we can banter about that. And all of a sudden we're activating the neurochemistry of our brain and those dopamine pathways to say, ooh, this is novel. This is new. I like this. And so that's one caveat. And the second caveat is how we talk about it. And that is pivotal. But before I go into that, I want to make sure to pause since I just said a lot.
You said a lot. I think acting as if it's the beginning of the relationship, you're sexting, you're flirting, you're giving them, you know, that look and teasing and all the stuff. That is big because people just fall into friendship mode and it goes from romantic to platonic. And if it was a new relationship, you'd be a lot more on. People are really like charming and they're on, you know, even at dinner, I see couples, especially younger couples with their phones out. I mean, I remember going to the super fancy restaurant when I lived in LA. And I saw this younger couple in huge sweats because that's what's in for them. If you wear huge sweats, like no judgment, but it was a very fancy restaurant and they were on their phones. And I'm like, this is the opposite of a romantic dinner date. They didn't dress up. So they're not trying to like look sexy for their partner and they're on their phones the whole time. Who knows? Maybe they were a brother and sister, but that's how they were acting.
Yeah. And yeah, I mean, you're right. Maybe they were brother and sister, yeah. But I think in relationships, like we act that way oftentimes, even when we're romantic, because right. We just get comfortable. And, you know, and it's not to say that that's bad, right? There are moments and like lots of moments where that comfort not only is wonderful, it's valuable, you know, to feel like emotionally held, to feel safe and secure. Like all of those things are valuable. And at the same time, that newness is like the allure of what drives people to cheat, of what drives people to open relationships and all of that. So it is, you know, a conversation of like, of course, no one person can be our everything. Like we all know that that's impossible. But right. How can we actually, like, just like your seven pillars of abundance, like abundance is not abundance if you're just financially abundant, but you have no social life, you don't have romance, you're emotionally not well. That's not really the definition of abundance. So like a good relationship, and like it has all of these pillars. You have that security and that safety, but you also have time for that sexiness. And that's another thing that I have found to be really helpful for people. That's a controversial thing oftentimes is actually if you're not having sex on a regular basis, to actually schedule it. And a lot of times people will be like, well, that's no fun. That's not spontaneous. Well, like, but you're not having spontaneous sex anyways. If you're having spontaneous sex, well, you don't need to schedule it. It's really just if you're not having it. And what that does is it puts it in the priority of like, okay, this is like sexy time and all. It like puts it in your calendar of like, oh yeah, just like going to the gym or anything else. but it really helps people navigate those needs around like, well, I also want to be like just comfortable and I want to sit around in my sweats and I want to do these other things. So just like going to the gym and we're like, okay, we're going to put on our workout clothes and we're going to put on our special outfit for this because it's workout time. And when we actually schedule it, it says, okay, well, I'm going to get out of my sweats. I'm going to actually prioritize putting myself together in this way that is sexy, that is alluring. And then I know that tomorrow night I can be, you know, chill in my sweatpants and we can enjoy comfy snuggle time and, you know, on the couch if that's our thing. So it allows for the brain to kind of orient to, I'm prioritizing this and this is what that means.
I love that. I think that is a great tip for couples that are in a rut to actually put it on your schedule and you both can look forward to it, dress up for it. It's so interesting because my next question is about how your healthy libido, you say healthy libido isn't a luxury, but it is a cornerstone for whole body wellness. So people will prioritize their supplementation and their workout and their hydration, but then they're forgetting their sexuality. So can you speak into how a libido is an actual cornerstone for a total whole body wellness practice?
Yeah, it's such an important question. And one of the reasons I think it's such an important question is because I have found in my work, like my one-on-one work in particular, that when people understand like the value in it, that's usually what helps with the motivation. So like we know if we get dehydrated, we're probably going to get a headache and not feel very well. So we prioritize water because we know if we don't, this will, you know, this will happen. Same thing with healthy eating or moving or anything else, sleep, all the foundations. But I think we don't understand all the benefits of sex. And I think a lot of times with sex, people just think about things like, well, we're getting off, right? We're having an orgasm. And that's great. That's wonderful. Like who doesn't love a great orgasm? But there's so much more happening here. And when people know it, I think that's what helps prioritize it. So when we are engaged sexually, I mean, one, not only is it great exercise and helps with mobility and flexibility and all that, we actually see that the chemicals that are released during this do things like build bone, reduce stress, reduce anxiety, reduce depression, help with sleep, help with happiness. And so, and literally there's studies on this. So when we're looking and we're saying, wow, especially in midlife, right? In midlife, like everything that I mentioned and you know, from a standpoint of what this can help with are common symptoms that happen for menopause with women and andropause with men. And so we're really looking at like we actually like cortisol, our stress hormone, for example, that is so talked about in the media. And it's a, you know, something so many people are working on getting it down. Well, oxytocin released through sexual intimacy can actually lower that stress hormone by a lot. And some people will be like, well, a 20-second hug has been shown to do that. Well, 20-second hug will raise your oxytocin levels by about, you know, 5 times or so, which sounds great until you realize that that sex and orgasms through sex will raise it about 50 to 100 times. So the amount of oxytocin you're getting in your blood to lower that cortisol with stress is significantly more balancing and more regulating than a kiss or a hug or petting a dog. Like those are all wonderful things, but they're not going to cause you the same level of stress resilience and the same level of cortisol regulation that we're so many of us are after as compared to having a really, really good heartfelt orgasm with your partner.
Wow. That is the tweetable of the day because we are all obsessed with getting our cortisol down and we know that stress is the number one cause of disease, stress and inflammation. You're an expert, you're a functional medicine doctor. I did not know what an impact that sex had on cortisol.
Yeah, this is one of the reasons, top reasons I think it is so important to health. And one of the reasons I think we were given orgasms as a species. Yeah. Like, you know, like why else would we have, and for women, like why else would we have a clitoris as part of our body that literally has zero function other than orgasm and pleasure? Well, our body is a master regulator. You know, we have on switches and off switches for everything. And oxytocin and orgasm are our off switch for stress. that's one of the reasons I think we were given, you know, one of many reasons, but one of the reasons I think we were given such profound ability and capacity to have a lot of pleasure is because of how regulating it is to our body.
We're going to pause here, cut to a commercial break. When we come back, I would like you to teach the women, this is a podcast of high achieving women who are go, 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 how to shift gears and get to a point where they can actually deregulate their nervous system to want to have sex. Because I feel like if somebody is in an adrenaline overdrive, like running around like a crazy woman, checking things off their to-do list, the last thing on their mind is having sex. So we'll talk about that after the break. Thanks everyone for listening. We're taking you from burned out to balanced, beautiful, and abundant, and we'll be right back.
Okay, can I be real for a second? You're out there crushing it in some areas of your life, but in others, it's like a hot mess express. Sound familiar? Here's the thing. You're not just meant to survive, you're meant to thrive. And that's exactly what I help my clients do in my coaching program. Together, we'll tackle all seven pillars of abundance, because who wants killer abs but a dumpster fire of a bank account? Or a thriving career, but zero in the romance department? Yeah, no thanks. I'm inviting you to schedule a breakthrough call with me. No pressure, no awkward sales pitch, just you, me, and a chance to figure out why you're stuck and how to get unstuck. So stop doom scrolling and start doing something about it. Click the link in the show notes and let's start giving you your best, most bougie life. You in? Are you ready to reset, realign, and rise into your best year ever? Join me January 23rd through 26th at the beautiful Amara Resort and Spa in stunning high-vibe Sedona, Arizona. We'll set powerful intentions, create customized affirmations, and design vision boards using my seven pillars of abundance framework so that you can make 2026 your most aligned and abundant year ever. You'll enjoy deep connection, breathtaking views, and total relaxation at the newly renovated Amara Resort, complete with a luxurious spa, fitness center, and zero-edge infinity pool. Spots are limited, so head to the show notes or message me directly on Instagram at Rebecca E. Whitman to learn more and claim your spot today.
Welcome back, everyone. We are talking to Dr. Diane Mueller. She is a functional medicine doctor as well as a naturopathic acupuncture and oriental medicine doctor. So she is a doctor of all things natural, functional, all the stuff we like talking about on the show. How can a woman slow down? You can't have sex with a woman on the move, running around like a crazy horse. How do we slow down enough to even think or want to have sex?
Yeah, I love this question because I have been that woman, and left to my own devices, I am that woman. I have my line practice. I have this business, and then I own a third business where I help coach women in business and growth of their business. So, you know, like you, like so many women that are listening, you know, here, it's like, how many different hats can we wear as, you know, in one day? And one of the things that women's brains were so good at is we're good at like multitasking and task switching. So that's why I think we can run and like so many things at one time, because our brain is so oriented to noticing there's a problem there, I need to solve that. There's a problem there, I need to solve that. There's a problem there, I need to solve that, which is beautiful. But at the end of the day, it can feel like, geez, I just solved like 10,000 problems today. How can I have any energy to prioritize anything other than going to bed, drinking a glass of wine, doing yoga, whatever it is? And so one of the first things for sure is to actually understand what we've already been talking about on this episode, that, hey, having sex and prioritizing your intimacy is your ticket out. But like many things in medicine that I find, like one of my favorite conversations in medicine is this vicious cycle. And that's what we're in right now, where it's like, okay, well, I need to have sex to lower my stress, but I am too stressed to have the sex. So how do I get out of the cycle, right? And that's what we're talking about here. So the first thing I would recommend is starting with yourself. So before we bring this into a partner, before we do anything, we have to actually begin to start with ourselves and understand to teach ourselves how to have profound orgasms. So, and the reason we do this is a lot of different things, right? Not only is it stress resilient, but the more we actually utilize the muscles of our vagina and our pelvic floor, the more we don't lose them. So we can, by having sex, by using self-pleasure techniques, and I have some show and tell for you guys here. And by doing some of these things, we actually see that we reduce things like urinary incontinence that happens a lot with aging, even, you know, post-pregnancy, those kind of things. And so when we schedule it, what we're looking to do, we're looking to say, okay, well, we're going to prioritize, even if it's 30 minutes, once a week for a self-pleasure practice. And we look at our schedule and we do say, what is, you know, this is like so important that I age well. This is so important that I'm balanced. This is so important that I seek my abundance in a way of flow and ease, as I know you talk about, and not this rapid pace, that I'm willing to invest 30 minutes into myself every week. So we do have to initially make that commitment. And then what we begin to do is we begin to start to learn our own body. Because one of the things that we actually also see in studies is that orgasm begets orgasm, meaning the more you actually have profound orgasms, the more you will crave them. Mm-hmm. The more this becomes not something that like you have to like figure out how to motivate, the more it's like, just like a lot of women feel about like their exercise routine around, this is my therapy. This is how I balance my stress. This is how I have energy. And it just becomes non-negotiable. Once you realize that and you feel it, that's what happens. So a couple of different things that can be helpful toys to get started. So this is one of my favorite things. This is called the Lioness. Okay, so we all have our Fitbits or Oura Rings or Apple Watches. A lot of people are doing things to track steps and sleep and all of those things. This is your data tracking device for orgasms. So what we see is that when you actually are seeing, because this will hook to an app on your phone and you can see as you're getting aroused and as you're moving closer to orgasm, you can also start to see like, oh, if I like experiment with myself this way or that way, I will then have more profound orgasms. And what the data shows is that when we track it, just like with steps, orgasm quality, quantity, duration, all increase. So this is the Lioness, and I'm going to have, I'll tell you guys at the end of this, like where to get these things. I have like coupon codes for all of these things too. I'm always finding things for people. So that's a really, really cool one.
That is crazy because everyone, I have my Whoop watch on, we're tracking like heart rate variability and oxygen intake and VO2 max and all these things, but we're not, I didn't know you could track like your sexual health and your orgasms. That is really interesting.
Yeah. And hugely motivating.
Oh yeah. What you can track, you can change.
Exactly. Exactly. And also, what you can track and change, your partner can too. So it's like when you learn this around, oh, if I masturbate this way, it's going to actually lead to feeling better. Now I have something really specific to bring to my partner, which is going to make them a better lover, which is going to make you more interested in it. You know, a lot of times we're making love in a way where women make love like men because we don't know better. And like, it actually takes most women on average 20 minutes to have an orgasm. And a lot of times, like, you know, through media and social stuff and whatever, you know, women are expecting themselves and the men in their lives are expecting them to be able to make love like a man, which oftentimes is way, 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 way quicker. And so we have to teach our partner and teach ourselves what we need. And that's like one of the magic things about that device.
That is amazing. Okay, what else? You're about to say something else.
So I have a couple more to show you because these are really fun. So this is, check out this device. This is called the Crescendo. This device I love because this company, Mystery Vibe, is doing tons of research. And this particular device has actually been shown in their studies That's when I mentioned that earlier around like, oh, certain things can lead to a reduction in pelvic pain. Like oftentimes as women, especially in midlife, the tissue becomes not very elastic. It's not stretching. It's not moving. And this device has been shown to bring that 5x reduction in pelvic pain with 3 times a week use over 12 weeks. And I think some of it is like so many women have like points of their vagina that are maybe tender or, you know, they're a little painful or maybe they're a little numb, right? That neurological connection. So because we can bend this in so many different ways, so different than any other device on the market, it's another way that one, we can heal ourselves, but we can also learn that like, oh yeah, this is pleasurable. Or like, even if it's a little painful, obviously not if it's too painful, but like, wow, that's like a little bit of that, like that out, right? Like a good stretch. When we hold this and on vibration to that area, we're actually in many ways reconnecting that nervous system capacity to that area and allowing for that healing of that tissue. We're bringing more blood there. We're bringing that neurological connection. And so this is helping when we use devices like this, this can help it feel better, right? So we're talking about like pleasure, but healing at the same time. And so I'll have information about that. And then I have one more. This is my favorite thing to show you.
Called. The second one's the Silly Putty Vibrator.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. Cause it's so, I love that. It's so manipulable. I'm going to start using that.
Just like Silly Putty.
Right? Absolutely. And then this is my like absolute favorite toy. This is a pretty new toy. I've had it for just a few months. And so this one is like the female part and you wear it kind of like a harness around your thighs. This sits on the clitoris. And then man, if you are in a hetero relationship, man wears this. It's a cock ring and this part does not vibrate, but this is a magnet. And so every time he thrusts, the magnet makes the vibrator here stronger and faster. So it's a way, what's so interesting is so many women I find are not interested in sex because of the desire, the orgasm gap, where it's like they come so fast and it takes her longer. And if she's not having a lot of pleasure, why am I wasting my time, right? It's like, it's not very motivating and it feels real obligatory around like, I'm just showing up to do this because my partner wants me to versus like, I'm showing up because this is amazing, not just for my partner, but for me. And because of the ability to be in just about any, because it sits so well with this harness, you can obviously tighten it to your exact needs. And because it sits so perfectly, you can be in just about any position, still get that clitoral stimulation, because only less than a third of women, and some studies say it's even more like 20% of women can actually have an orgasm from penetrative sex alone. So we got to get that out, that penetrative sex is the way, because for most women, it's not. So you can have that with any position. And then because he's wearing this and with this magnet on here, as he's in, as he's penetrating, he's actually bringing more, he's controlling the vibration, right? So he still gets the ability to kind of manipulate your clitoris, but he still feels like has a sense of being a huge part of the orgasm. It really helps to narrow that orgasm gap and bring people a lot more into that alignment that is so, so, so powerful for them both. So, you know, these toys by no means are necessary by any means, but I do feel like prioritizing it, starting with that self-pleasure, and then these are helpful things that if you want to have these other tools, they really can help many women cross that threshold of saying, oh yeah, now I'm experiencing amazing orgasms. Now I'm experiencing the stress reduction. Now I'm experiencing the anxiety reduction. Now I actually feel happier. And so now it's like more interesting to me to make this a priority in my life instead of something that maybe I'll get to, maybe I won't.
Those are great devices. And, you know, we're in a high-tech era. And if your goal is more connection with your partner and or yourself through self-pleasure practice, these devices can definitely enhance that ride. We're almost done with the interview, Dr. Diane. I'm going to do some rapid-fire questions to wrap it up. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. My favorite, and finish this sentence, please. My favorite way to help my clients reconnect with their desire is?
Communication, helping them understand how to talk to each other.
Oh, that's a whole nother podcast. Yep. We didn't even talk about that. Give us a couple quick communication tips.
One of the most important things, especially when we talk about anything sexy, is people wind up getting shamed very easily. Mm-hmm. So oftentimes it's really helpful if we're going to bring up like, oh, I want to do this, or maybe I want to change that. The first conversation to have is, how can we actually talk about this in a way where if I'm surprised by what you're requesting or I'm surprised by what you're asking, I can actually respond in a way that's going to help you feel open and not shame. So we plan for the awkwardness and how we're going to deal with the awkwardness before it happens. So we know how to do it in a way where people don't shut down.
Well, how do you plan for the awkwardness? You set an appointment and say, right. We're going to talk about some of my sexual needs and proclivities.
Yeah, I teach people the how, the when, and the where of this.
Yeah.
And part of the when is absolutely is like, it's a really great thing to give your partner like a heads up and say like, not honey, I want to talk, because that usually brings up the guards. But instead say something like, hey, I listened to this great podcast and I just realized I want to be talking a little bit more about like our sex life. And you know, I really want to, do this in a way where we're just going to both feel really great about this. And I have some ideas and, you know, would tonight be a good time to talk about it? So then we're setting it up kind of in the positive, but also giving them kind of that warning around like, okay, this might be a little bit more of a question. And so it gives them the opportunity to say, actually, I have like 7 meetings today that are really hard meetings and be really stressed out. Could we do it tomorrow instead?
I love it. Okay, next rapid fire. A healthy libido gives people permission to feel blank.
Free, connected, abundant.
Love it. Last question. Desire increases when people feel more blank than sexy.
Confident. And there's actually studies on this. So there's a direct relationship too. And this is another positive. We talked about the negative vicious cycles. This is a positive vicious cycle, is that we see when we are confident, we actually are more inclined to have more sex. But when we have more sex, we also become more confident. So we can work on confidence outside of the bedroom, and that will help us move towards the bedroom. And then when we're in the bedroom, that helps to give confidence that actually goes out into our lives. And this is one of the things too, when we're talking offline around like, yeah, it's so easy to say, okay, well, sex is related to easily 6 of your 7 pillars of abundance. But when we see that sex has a direct relationship on our confidence, it's part of how we can say, oh, even that financial area, it actually can be directly impacted by sex because our confidence does improve when we have it.
Well, this will definitely be the last question. It's not rapid fire. But why is it that so many extremely wealthy and powerful people, especially men, they have like crazy high libidos?
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting thing that brings us to the work of Dr. Emily Nagoski, which is the concept of brakes and accelerators. So mm-hmm. It depends upon like what your brakes and what your accelerators are in many ways, because for some people that success, that, you know, being in that prestigious, like having that confidence, all of that is an accelerator. Some people, that stress is even an accelerator as well. So, you know, I think part of the answer to this is really helping people understand that for one person, certain things are going to be accelerators, while that same thing for another person is going to put the brakes on their desire and their sex life. And a lot of this is learning your own body, your own accelerators, your own brakes, and your partners, and working together to take off the brakes while you put on the accelerators.
That is very well said. Well, Dr. Diane, I could talk to you about this stuff all day. I know we got to wrap up, and my listeners are going to want to find your website and some of the great toys you shared. Where can people stay in touch with you and find you online?
So super easy place to get discounts for all the things I mentioned, as well as I have so many free things to get started with. I have ways to bring, you know, downloads to bring novelty back into your life. I have my free ebook on 5 easy ways to better orgasms and romance, lube guide. So you make sure you're like using lube that protects your vagina and does not hurt your vagina, which is a whole nother conversation. So I have all of these free guides plus discount codes to my favorite products all on one webpage, which is havehotsex.com. So if you just go to havehotsex.com, you'll find all those goodies and more.
Well, that is a very interesting name for a website for a doctor.
That's why I call myself the sex doctor.
You are really a lot of fun to talk to. I'm so glad you are on the show. Thank you for your time. Thank you everyone for listening to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show and sharing this message that you can be a high achieving, successful woman without burnout. You can have a fully designed life in all these seven key areas. You can be balanced, beautiful, and abundant. And you can achieve happiness through alignment, not the hustle and the grind. Thank you so much for sharing this episode with a friend. Feel free to take a screenshot, tag me or Dr. Diane Mueller. We'll reshare it in our stories. And until we meet again, keep your vibe high and magnetized. Bye, everyone.
Thanks, everybody.
So excited to share a review from Melissa Myers, the Glow Girl. She says, inspiring podcast. Rebecca has a gift for creating meaningful, empowering conversations that leave you feeling inspired and uplifted. Balanced, Beautiful, Abundant is like sitting down with a wise, soulful friend who truly wants you to thrive in every area of your life. I love how she blends practical advice with spiritual insights. I'm so grateful I found it. Well, Melissa, we're so grateful that you found us, and we can't wait to find out how you are glowing and growing by using this podcast as a tool. And everybody who's listening and sharing, thank you so much for your support. And it's such a joy to be on this journey with you.